Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
All right, there's a big event going on tonight at 8 o'clock, Helium Comedy Club. Actor, comedian Steve Ranazzisi is going to be performing. You may have seen him on The League. You may have seen his special. You may have seen him. You may have heard him on the show before, but he's back in Portland. One show tonight at 8 o'clock, two shows tomorrow night. HeliumComedy.com to get tickets. Steve, welcome back in your Yankees hat.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back. And yeah, the Yankees are the only thing that New York sports that keeps us afloat.
The Jets, and you don't do too much Jets.
Well, they got a new coach today, so that'll be in the news for a day or two until they're 6-10 next year. And then, you know, till we get a new quarterback, the Giants will be 6-10. And then the Knicks are paper bag over your head. The Nets are not much better.
We complain in Portland. We say we're a small market. That's why we don't win. And then we look at New York, and it doesn't hold up.
We got 100 teams. None of us win.
What's going on?
I'd rather have one team that didn't win than 100 that don't.
That just looks bad.
Yeah. I mean, look at Boston, though. You got to say, Boston's a great city right now, sport. But I would say Boston or Los Angeles. I mean, Los Angeles, you got two teams that could be in the Super Bowl still. You got LeBron on a half-decent team who's getting better. Team that went to the World Series the last 2 years. Pretty good time.
Good.
It's tough. My kids, raising my kids there and trying to keep the New York sports teams alive.
Yeah.
It's real rough, dude.
Did you tell them, like, at age two, hey, you're a Yankees fan?
Yeah, of course. It stuck with one. The older one, it didn't stick with. He's like, I'm getting too much heat at school. I can't go along with this anymore. This team's good. Why can't I root for this team? I live here. Yeah. They love the beard. They love Justin Turner.
Yeah.
They love Fweeg. My youngest son... I told him, I go, look at this guy, Aaron Judge, please. And now he's a tremendous Yankee fan. We won't break this. This kid's with me. I got him. But it took a lot, and it is a competitive market just for your kid's attention. So you got to put a good product. Like, we watch Nick games, and he's like, they stink. I go, yeah, I know.
He doesn't want any of that.
He doesn't want, you know.
Yeah.
I'm finally going to watch St. John's games because they're good again.
Yeah.
And watching Chris Mullins, my son goes, what's wrong with his face? I go, I don't know. Nobody knows what's wrong with Chris Mullins' face. But yeah, it's a good time that, like, first, I just love this age where they're, like, really absorbing sports and they're into it. But watching with them is good again. Even if the teams stink, it's still fun. I took my youngest to the Giants-Cowboys game in New York a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
It's a blast.
It was.
That's a memory, too, though, when you're at the game and, you know, he'll never forget that.
Yeah. My oldest, the first time we ever went to the Madison Square Garden, we took the train in. And I was telling him in the train ride, I go, buddy, the great thing about this is you can say whatever you want. You can. There's no inside voice. You can scream. You can yell at other men and yell and boo them. You can actively boo other people and there are no consequences for it. And he was like, psyched. So then we get there and... it was against the Capitals, and so this is a couple days right after a New York City police officer was killed, and at that time Mayor de Blasio and the police were having some friction. So the New York City Police Department comes out and they're holding the flag, and it's an NYPD chant going full blast, and it's a nice moment, and then it quickly turns to F de Blasio, right?
Yeah,
and we are in the epicenter of the F de Blasio movement. And my youngest son is now screaming at the top of his lungs, F de Blasio, F de Blasio, over and over. And I'm trying to keep NYPD up. I'm the only one around our area trying to go, NYPD. And he's going, de Blasio. And I'm going, oh, no, 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 no. But I have already been the man that's told him, you can say whatever you want. You can do. There's no, like, this is it, buddy. This is hockey. This is the last bastion of filthy, savage animal behavior. Yeah. And, you know, he went home and he's not a big de Blasio fan. What can I say?
So you're at hockey, and I think hockey is one of the best in person.
Live. It is the greatest.
What is the greatest?
The greatest.
All right. What's after hockey?
Well, it depends. For what kind of, what do you, I have different moods, okay? When there's something about, like, we spent a couple weeks in New York in the summer, and there's a Long Island Ducks baseball team. It's $6 to get in. They're all ex-major league players. Carlos Baeger, you know, 50-year-old Carlos Baeger, guys like that. And there's something about sitting there in the warm, watching a slow-moving baseball game that I can enjoy.
Yeah.
I can really... But like again, it's like the mood that you're in. If you're tired and you're like, I want to go. To me, college basketball, hockey, playoff hockey, forget it. I've only been to one playoff hockey game and it was amazing. I've been to Super Bowls and they're fun, but it's like going to a concert or pageant. Yeah. It's almost like the game is part of the event that's happening. Whereas when you go to a playoff hockey game, they don't take extra timeouts because they got to pay Nabisco or whatever else. It's like they're just moving. The clock keeps running.
Everything matters.
Yeah. Everyone's, you know, I feel the same way about like, I've never been to a Final Four would be great, but like a real, like one of the divisional, one of the Sweet 16 games would be great.
The Final Four's problem is you're in a 70,000 seat football stadium.
It turns
stadium.
Into like more of a concert vibe then. Whereas
you lose
I think
it.
I'd love to go to like the Garden and go to like a Big East tournament or the Sweet 16 or something like that.
Yeah. Like for when you're doing stand up, what is the ideal size room for you?
350 people. 250 to 350 people.
And the promoter would love it and you would love it.
And forget the size of like what you could sell tickets wise. Right. You're just saying like where would I want to perform?
Sweet spot.
Perfect.
Yeah. But if I put you in Moda Center and we go, hey, we sold 18,000 tickets, you'd be like, that's great.
Yeah. But there's a way to do that.
Yeah.
But you know, is that, I'm sure everyone has a great time, but that's more of, we got a limo, we went to dinner first and stuff. I feel like in a comedy club, you know, dangerous, weird, scary, funny things can happen.
Yes.
And it's usually amongst the 350 people you feel, 250 people you feel comfortable doing in front of. You're not really going to take many risks in front of 18,000 people.
Yeah, that's
you know what the show's going to be a great show. You can get 18,000 people to come watch you, you're going to do something right. But it's not the same sort of what you might want to get in, what you got into the game for, you know.
Actor, comedian Steve Renan Cece is with us. He's at Helium Comedy Club tonight, 8 o'clock. Tomorrow night, two shows. Grab tickets. They won't last. Go to heliumcomedy.com. First time you were ever in a paid stand-up gig was the first time you made money. Doing stand-up. Do you remember it?
Yeah, I was living in L.A., and I went on a college. I got booked to do a couple colleges because this thing called NACA, where you like audition and like these schools come, colleges come, and then they book you. And so I was going to middle for this guy, Bobby Lee, he's one of my best friends now. And so but at the time, I didn't know him. I was living in L.A. and I'd been there like 6 months. And so I went and I middled for him at a college, and they gave me a paycheck for like $150. And I was like, this is amazing. And then I saw Bobby's paycheck was for $1,000. And I was like, oh my God. One day you can make $1,000.
Yeah.
Insane. I was like, this is incredible. Not only am I going to get paid, but this guy is getting, like, he's like a couple levels ahead of me and he's making $1,000.
Yeah.
It was nuts. And now I would gladly take that $1,000. I gladly would love that. Yeah, I want $1,000.
But you have to hold on to, like, you did it for a while because you probably loved it and you were trying to get good at it, or maybe you were working some things out, and then finally you got to the point where someone else saw you as a pro. There's a moment there.
Yeah, you just start doing better and better on stage, and people are like, wait, who's, you know, the comics are in the hallway in the back and they're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Why is it so loud? And then they go, oh, okay.
You mentioned
Ren is Easy's on.
You mentioned being friends with Bobby Lee. Was there a comic you grew up watching that you
not really. I mean, the first comic I ever saw was Bill Cosby's himself, you know, because it was just clean and interesting to you know, storytelling. And so, but I wasn't really ever like the comedians I grew up with, my parents, you know, watching my mom make jokes and kind of move around a party or stuff like that. And then realizing that you do at college, I was like prank phone calls and things like that were my sort of my, I'm like, oh, this is comedy too. You don't just have to be in a play or be on a television show or do stand up. So this is all sort of part of it. So that's when I became more interested in it and sort of really honing, like the Jerky Boys.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
I was
like, this
that.
Is the greatest thing I've ever listened
to. Yeah.
They were hilarious. And so listening to those, and I was like, I started doing prank calls and then just becoming more comfortable with myself. And then finally being like, I can go on stage and kind of make fun of myself and be okay with that. And then started doing that.
The prank calls become, I think, a lost art because remember everybody had a home phone.
Yeah. Well, now you can't do
can't
it.
Can't even
anymore.
Do it.
There's ways around it. Now you get like cards with, so they, you will call, but it sends it to a different number and then a different number looks like, you know. There's no more messing around with like ring and runs and stuff like that or any of that stuff. Either A, you're on camera 100% everywhere you go.
Yep.
Or B, you're gonna get shot. So, you know, I'm not doing any of that stuff. It's like everywhere you go now.
Yeah.
There's no more like just messing around.
Hey, speaking of that, the technology's so good in football. I was noticing this last week with the games. We see every angle before the officials see it.
Yeah.
You know, we have too much information now, and every play is reviewed. Does that bother you, or do you say this is good for the game, or we're just getting the calls right? We stop play all the time. We have better angles
than... It bothers me when it doesn't... I'm okay when it matters, when it's points on the line or something like that. We're trying to get it right, big moments. Yeah. It bothers me when it's the random, is it a first down or is it not a first down?
Yeah.
And you're at the 35, your own 35. You're like, okay, it's third down, you know, it's second down. Is it going to be third down and 2 inches or first down and 10?
Right.
We're in the same, like, moments like that where they really suck the energy out. I'm like, okay. But it is, I think, it is important in certain aspects. I think that there are places that can still use it. I don't think there needs to be a home plate umpire anymore. Everyone in the world knows if it's a ball strike. I know on my phone, sitting in a subway. Yeah. If it's the only guy that doesn't know is the guy behind the plate, he's got to guess.
Yeah.
So that's ridiculous to me. There's a place for a home plate umpire to call outs and stuff.
But I think balls and strikes.
Balls and strikes, take it out of their hands.
Put a little sensor in the ball and we're done.
We all know the thing changes on everybody that covers baseball now. Every network has the box there. My son now.
Yeah.
My youngest son, who's the most fanatical baseball fan I know, doesn't know a world without replay. They're going to challenge that.
Yeah.
Right? That's the first thing he says. They're going to challenge that.
Right.
I go, yeah, that's not, you know, that's not
How
the world.
He?
Like, six.
So when he gets into Little League, do you think that will be a, like, the kids of his age?
He's already in Little League.
Yeah.
He's already in a, like, where he pitches to other kids, and he's already getting frustrated where he thinks it's a strike.
He wants a replay.
He wants a replay. He wants to
awesome.
Know. So they don't know a world without it.
Yeah.
So there's no going back now. But it does, for me, slow. I'm not a conservative person where it's like, you can't take it away from the home plate umpire. It's human error is part of the game.
Yeah,
it is until it's like the seventh game of the World Series. And, you know, like everybody's practiced for this moment. So why mess it up with human error at this point? Let the human error happen by the players, not the guy who's not supposed to be part of the game. So if you can remove it a little bit there, but as far as like slowing things down, forget it.
Yeah.
They should be a 15 second.
Yeah.
You should have two types of challenges. A 15 second, we're going to give it a quick look-see, and then we're going to hammer this thing out.
I wouldn't want to be an official because you're trying to make that bang bang call, and everybody at home sitting around watching the game has everything immediately available. Like, the guy blew the call right away. I mean, they know. It's over.
I mean, how many the Golden State guys have to get away with running out of bounds and shooting from out of bounds, they're going to start shooting from the third row and they're going to count it. I mean, it happened again. Not only did it happen to Durant, but it happened again last night or something. Someone threw the ball from out of bounds. It was like, what's going on here? Like, who's looking? And then they get made fun of big time the next day on all these shows. It's like, and you're going to, you know, why? For what reason? What are you, Billy Crawford, where you can just go out there and yell at another guy and no one's going to have, there's no Twitter where it's going to be all over the internet in 10 seconds after you do it. Those days are over, man. Everything is under the microscope now. You got to put yourself out there? No thanks.
Hey, I appreciate you being in here.
No worries.
Big show tonight. One show tonight, right?
One
Two
tonight.
Tomorrow.
Two tomorrow.
And you were here last time. Did you like Portland? I mean, you got
to
love it. Yeah,
I do. I came, I was telling everyone, I came last time I was doing this Sober October where I wasn't drinking. So, not that I need drinking, but this is a great drinking city.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a little more fun this time.
Now you need to double down.
Yeah. I'm going to use my hologram for the Saturday shows. I'm not going to be here. It's just going to be Hologram Steve, both shows on Saturday.
Better get him tonight. Steve Ranazzisi is with us, actor, comedian. Go to heliumcomedy.com. You probably remember him from The League or know him from The League. Check him out in person doing stand-up. Steve, thanks for stopping by.
No worries. Thanks for having me again.
Leave it right here. Coming up, Andrew Brandt, former Packers Vice President of Player Finance, General Counsel. A lot of titles. We'll talk NFL with Andrew Brandt. That's what I'll say about that. I do have a couple of interesting tickets here that are in my possession. I like to send BFT listeners to fun places. I'm going to tell you how you can get into the Sneak Peek Charity Preview Party at the Oregon Convention Center. I'll tell you how you can get tickets. I'll also tell you how you can get into here. By the way, these tickets sell for $100 a ticket. It's a big cocktail party. It is a charity event at the Oregon Convention Center that benefits charities such as the Brian Grant Foundation, Victory Academy, and others. A lot of good charities involved with this. But I have two tickets for it. I'll tell you later in the program how you can get those tickets. But first, can we do our big splash here? We haven't done a big splash yet.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
I think the biggest story of the day is Doug Brenner, football player at the University of Oregon, former football player. Jesuit High School standout in Portland. He's suing the University of Oregon, the NCAA, Willie Taggart, and Irle Odirinde, the strength and conditioning coach, former strength and conditioning coach at Oregon, for $11.5 million. Brenner went public today with his attorneys and essentially said that he's got permanent kidney damage that is going on. He said he's suing for $11.5 million, not just for the money and for the damage, but he'd like to see change in the NCAA, better rules for workouts. He also talked about the problems. Oxygen tanks, throw-up trash cans, and urine that turned black.
During the workouts, we were punished if other people passed out or were throwing up in the trash can. Coach O said, we're just going to keep doing up-downs until so-and-so can return from throwing up in that trash can. And he'd say, you're letting your team down. It was horrible. I mean, it got so bad. I couldn't even move my arms after the second day. My arms were so swollen that I couldn't even take my own shirt off without help. I couldn't even reach a fork to my face. I couldn't even eat. I could barely open a car door. It was so bad. My pee was black, like Coca-Cola. Yeah.
There it is, Doug Brenner going public today, the big splash. Brenner talking about how hard it is, how tough it is to sue the university that he loves so much, and how close he came to quitting. I ultimately think that the aim of the Taggart regime wasn't to help players get in better shape, with that workout at least. I think the aim was clearly to weed out the non-hackers. There are hackers and there are non-hackers. And the strength and conditioning coach took it upon himself to try to weed out the non-hackers. For what reason? Perhaps scholarships. Perhaps they were just wanting to run off the guys that were these snakes in the grass. Whatever the case, looks like they went about it the wrong way and they will pay dearly for it. Coming up, Andrew Brandt, former Packers VP. He is a columnist with Monday Morning Quarterback. We're going to talk to him about the head coaching hires in the NFL, plus the games. Over the weekend, who are the big picks? Leave it
here. We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.